Well, good morning, Bear Creek Church. Am I on there, Justin? Okay, good. My name is Curtis McGinnis, and it's my pleasure to be with you again this week as Pastor Aaron is on his sabbatical and Pastor Jeff is somewhere out west, I think, hoping that his brakes work in the mountain as best as I could understand. So again, it's good to be here. I want to share just a minute or two about the ministry that I'm a part of, Crossroads Church Partners, and the work that we do and some of the work that we've been doing here with the Bear Creek Church as well. Our mission is all about developing Christian leaders and providing resources to strengthen churches. I've never been in a church yet that has said we have way too many leaders. And so one of the things we want to do is develop and help churches develop more leaders so that you can better fulfill your God-given mission that you have. And we also come alongside and provide resources to help strengthen you. Go ahead, Justin. This is a picture of our team, myself, Todd Looney, who has come and spoke here, I know as well before, and Dr. Rick Walston. Rick has spent 40 years in the church, and just this last year, he retired after 10 years out at the Marion Road Christian Church. And so Rick does our pastor care. That's exclusively what he focuses on. Go ahead, next one. Just a couple of ways that you guys here as a church can get involved with what we're doing is these are two classes that we are offering free of charge starting this fall. I'll be teaching a class on personal evangelism, and I'll have Bridget come be a guest speaker because she did a great job in her communion meditation. But I have a class on personal evangelism, and Rick will be teaching a class on care ministries. You can sign up on our website free of charge. They're 8 weeks each. They're going to be held out at the Marion Road Christian Church, and I'd be happy to tell you more about it, or there's cards on the Welcome Center. We also have a conference coming up here on our next slide called the We don't have that one? Okay, don't worry about that. Well, we have a Flourish conference as well. Oh, there we go. We have a Flourish conference as well on November 5th and 6th up in northwest of the cities at Andover Christian Church. And this is all about leadership, and we'd love to invite especially the elders from the church or those who are thinking about leadership or who have some interest in it. We're going to have Gary Johnson from E2 Effective Elders come and be our speaker for those 2 days. And so invite you to come up to that. Just a few other things we do here is in our church resources. This is in our area of pastor care. We really found the need to take care of pastors. Really, the COVID crisis showed us the need to take care of pastors. And we're beginning to see lots of pastors who, especially during COVID, were struggling. And even now, we're seeing pastor turnover. And so we want to care for pastors as best we can. We have a heart for pastors and the work they do. And we feel like if we can care for the pastors, they can better care for their church. And so Rick does most of our pastor care. He's available for counseling or to just pray with a guy or have lunch with them, be an ear for them. We have a benevolence fund for pastors if there's special financial needs that pastors have. And then we have something called the Minister's Roundtable where pastors come together and share and have accountability and really just a place that's a safe place for them to be together and share about what they're doing in their ministry. Our next slide, I think, is our foundation. Our foundation is a separate arm of our ministry that is all about scholarships, and we give scholarships to students. And so if you are someone who's interested in Christian higher education, or if you know somebody who is, for example, Brittany, who we highlighted during the missions time today, she's one of the students that we also scholarship as she's finishing up her degree at Hope International University. And so we'd love to be able to tell you more about it. This is my favorite part of our job. I think this next year we have scheduled to give out about $80,000 in scholarships. And so it's just a great opportunity for us to bless those who want to continue their education in Christian ministry or just in Christian education in general. And I think that's all I have for you. Oh, here we go. A few ways you can partner with us. We, of course, we are supported by churches and individuals just like yourself. You can sign up for our e-news on our website. You can sponsor a student. You can refer a student. You can be a student. And so thank you for your church. And actually, we must have missed a slide in there, Justin, because one of the things we do is we do a number of workshops as a church, as Crossroads Church Partners. And we have been working with your church for about the last 4 months in a strategic planning workshop. And really, a lot of things have come out of that strategic planning workshop. One of the main things that has come out is the need to kind of re-up the emphasis on life groups. What Bear Creek calls their small groups is life groups. And so that's what I'm going to talk about again today. In this area, we do church health assessments as well, our conference as well, and so just a lot of things. And so today I'm going to talk more about the need for community, and this is, again, one of the things that has come out of the strategic planning initiative that I did with the staff and elders here, and you'll be hearing more about it this fall as some of the other things that we've been working on will begin to get rolled out. So before I begin and get into the Word, let me pray for us, and then we'll dig into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to gather together in worship. We pray today just for a blessing on Pastor Aaron, that you would continue to give him rest as he's on his sabbatical and enjoying the final couple weeks of that. We pray also for Pastor Jeff as he's on vacation, and that it'll be a time of refreshment as well. Lord, thank you for your Word and the opportunity that we have to open it up together, to look at it, to share together. Lord, we just pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to do something a little bit differently here. I'm going to invite up Justin Tronson. You guys all know Justin well. Justin is one of the elders here, and Justin is heading up the life group ministry here at the church. And so I asked Justin a couple weeks ago if he would tag team this sermon with me, and he reluctantly said yes. So thank you for doing that. And I just thought it would be a great time to not hear about it from somebody that you don't know very well in myself, but to hear it from Justin, who is one of the leaders of your church here and who is heading up this ministry. And today we want to talk about why we need biblical community. And we're not talking about this because you guys need another thing to do in your schedule. We're not talking about it because Justin just has nothing to do better to do with his life. We're talking about it because from the very beginning, community is something that God has called us to, because God himself is a God of community. If we look all the way back in Genesis chapter 1.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Is Curtis's mic on the speakers out here? Because it's in the monitor here, but I don't know if he's out here. Can everybody hear him okay? You can.
They got a yes.
Up front here?
They didn't care if they heard me or not.
I hope you can't hear me. Okay, sorry for the interruption.
No, that's fine. So in Genesis 1, we see that God himself is a God of community. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it said, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see, God is saying here through his Word that we're made in his image to be part of community. God himself is part of community. Do you catch that in verse 26? It says, "Let us." Let us, that we serve a triune God who is in community with himself. God is a living God in community in the Trinity. Pastor and author George Claddis said this, "The image of the Trinity is that of three persons of God in constant movement in a circle," he says. "That implies intimacy, equality, unity, yet distinction and love." And he goes on to say, "Although we as creatures of God are not equal to God, the divine community of the Trinity provides a helpful image for human community that reflects the love and intimacy of the Godhead. God does not live in isolation." He doesn't live in isolation from himself or from his created beings, us. God wants us to be in community as he is. He doesn't want us to be in isolation from him or with each other. And he never intended us to live this life that we live in isolation from each other as individuals or families. He wants us to be in community because he is a God of community. And so I thought today what I would do is between Justin and I, we're going to share with you 8 reasons in our own life why we need biblical community. Now, we could have had this list be 3, but that didn't give us enough time to fill, so that's why we have 8, right? No. I mean, and we could have had 12 as well, but these are 8 that are just really important to us on why we need biblical community, and I hope that you will see why you need biblical community as well, and you can follow along in the outline if you want to. One of the first things for me, and I discussed this last week, we'll see if you were listening. Do you remember what passage I was in last week?
Acts chapter 2.
Ooh, all right. He gets bonus points. Yeah, and we were in Acts chapter 2, and we were looking at how the design of the early church. And so one of the reasons I need biblical community is because it helps fulfill the design and the desire for the church. And in the early church in Acts chapter 2 last week, we talked about the call to community, our commitment to community, and the results that happen when we're in biblical community. And one of the things I've realized in my life is that Sunday is not enough. I love gathering on Sunday morning. I mean, the worship and music this morning was fantastic. I mean, I loved it. Loved Gary's, reading of Scripture. I mean, I love it. But I've realized that Sunday by itself is not enough, that I need something more than just Sunday. And really, it's hard to fulfill, as we looked in Acts chapter 2 last week, it's hard to fulfill the design of the church if you just try to do it on Sunday alone. You can't do it. You need something more. We looked at as well as how shepherding and care can happen in a community. The idea of we're called to mentor, and Scripture says the older men are to mentor the younger men, and the older women are to mentor the younger women. I mean, that's hard to all do on just a Sunday morning. And so we need something more. I don't know about you, Justin, but one of the things with kids is I want other people in my life who are speaking the same thing I'm speaking into my kids' life. Did you have that experience?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't ask you for a story here.
That's
so I'll put
good.
You on the spot.
Keep going.
Okay. But I mean, as a parent, there's nothing better than when I am teaching something and then there's somebody else who's coming alongside and like reinforcing that, right?
Or even correcting you.
Okay. All right. We'll take that too. And
that's never happened to me.
Never happened to you. Okay. All right. I told you this was going to be fun. So just a couple of weeks ago, my son and I, we went to a Honkers baseball game with an older gentleman in our church. And again, it was just an opportunity over a baseball game where this older gentleman could, talk to our son and encourage him and try to reinforce all the things that I want to do as a parent. And that's what I love about community and biblical community. Any other thoughts on that? We're good. Okay. Second point we have is that when we invest in biblical community, we're really anticipating a perfect community in eternity. You know, that we have this in Scripture, we see that there will be a day and there will come a time when we will be in perfect community in the new heaven and the new earth. And our biblical communities, as we gather together, are really just a glimpse of what is to come. It's not the perfect image of it, but it's a foretaste of it. One of the things I wrote down is that holiness is too important and life is too short to live in isolation, that we need encouragement and others along the way. In a devotional that my son and I were just going through yesterday, it talked about how in biblical community we get to be a part of God's recreation effort, his recovery of Eden. And our community does that. It allows us to live out the gospel with others, and we have an opportunity to bring God's redemptive nature to fruition. And this is one of the desires, as I shared last week, the three-prong approach kind of to our community groups is that you would love God, love others, and what's the third part?
Change the world.
And so as we live out the gospel, we have this opportunity to bring God's redemption to the world around us as well.
Yeah, and when we're in heaven, I don't know if, when I was a kid, I thought of heaven as like me and God. I didn't think about people that would be around me. Mm. And, you know, when I became a Christian, I was so enraptured with the person of Jesus that even then, like, that was enough for me. That's cool. But as time has gone on and I've grown to understand what living in relationship with God vertically and with other people horizontally is, it's like you say, it's a foreshadowing of restoring what was lost in Eden. You know, we got about 3 days to get it right. Our ancestor did, and they blew it. And so, but of course, God was fulfilling a bigger purpose and building a larger community. And so we're gonna try to love each other in a way that, yes, like you said, it won't be perfect. It's like a dim mirror, but it is a picture and a reflection of the perfect unity we'll have together and with God someday.
Absolutely. Hebrews 3 tells us this: "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily." That happens in community. "As long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first."
So a third reason. Is this going up? It is. Hey, you get it before I say it. The ultimate meaning of life is loving relationships. So I don't know if you guys remember, back in Matthew, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit from Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Jesus was asked, what was God's greatest commandment? You know, if you could pick out of all the law. And he answered, to love God with all your heart and strength, and secondly, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, as in, love your neighbor as if your neighbor was you. And then he said that the entirety of God's law hinges on these two commandments. So everything in the law and the prophets, all of what God was doing with his people was about that. So all of God's law is about loving relationships. Obeying God means being in community with others. So you can't be isolated and be obedient to God. It just doesn't work. We can't live out our lives in obedience without practicing those commands, which all have to do with relationships to other people. If you think about it, think about the whole law, or any command you've read in the Old Testament, or anything Jesus ever taught his disciples. It can only be practiced in relationship with people. You don't love your neighbor if you don't have a neighbor. You don't, you know, even the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Okay, well, that implies you're in community with people that you don't violate, right? Or on a positive note, to love your enemies. Jesus, he tells us in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So our love is to go beyond affinities and beyond people we like. That's easy to do, and Jesus actually rebuked people for it. He said, anybody can do that. I want you to go love your enemies. So then it's an active love, and it builds relationships. It builds community. And obviously, if you're loving your enemies, it's a sacrificial kind of love. It's where you're going to practice spiritual disciplines and take a posture of Jesus, of humility, of deference, of service. And that when you're doing that, you're living out the ultimate meaning of life right there.
Yeah, I think, I don't know about anybody else, but on the Myers-Briggs scale, like, it says, are you, one of the things is kind of like, are you people or task-oriented? And my personality is about 98% task-oriented. And about 2% people-oriented. But
I never took it, but I bet I'm the same.
Okay. Well, you know, but at the same time, is biblically, you know, we're called to be in relationship. And so this is another thing that we taught our son. We asked him this question when he was younger, was, what is more important, people or things? People or things. And we're a society that is obsessed with stuff and things And yet the true important things are the relationships that we have. And so that happens as we're in biblical community together. And we see the value of relationships with God and one another and the people around us. This one I gave for Justin. It doesn't apply to me, of course, but a fourth reason we need biblical community is that Justin's messed up. No, it says I'm...
And I need the rest of you.
No, I'm messed up, and you're messed up. Scripture says we're messed up. In Romans 7, it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate, I do. Anybody, that you? I mean, that's me. I'm messed up. And biblical community is a means of grace that God uses to help my propensity towards sin and destructfulness. I mean, I by myself and left alone, I mean, it's not good. And we need one another because we're messed up. I mean, I need accountability. I need encouragement. I need shepherding. Sometimes I just need a swift kick in the butt. Anybody else get an amen? Amen? Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Amen.
And as a shepherd of the church, Justin is here to give you one of those. So if you want that after service, come find him. He'll give it to you. But we're messed up, and God wants to use biblical community as a way and a means in which that we can really is part of the next point that we're going to get to. But you have a story.
Curtis asked me to share a story about how I messed up, so he didn't take this one for himself. But I was thinking about that, thinking of an example that would show how biblical community helped me out. And there are several, but I'll give you one. I've been married to my wife, Sherry, for 20 years, and the first several years of our marriage were very bumpy. It was not what either of us was expecting. And as soon as the honeymoon was over, it was like we both thought we married different people than we were getting to know. And I don't know if anybody could ever relate to that. Maybe we're unique. However, it was really severe for us, and it was very hard times. She got pregnant with our daughter Liv, like almost immediately. So, baby's on the way. We're not getting along. In our own ways, we were both trying really hard to do things right. Well, in my mind, I was trying really hard to do things right, and Sherry was sabotaging it. But she's not here to defend herself. In my mind, then. So, what I learned, you know, in reaching out to friends, pastors, going to counseling, with the input of a lot of people around me and God's help and a lot of prayer, I slowly began to discover, and a couple times it was very sudden, these little truths about my personality and how my personality played into our relational dynamic. And in all the ways that I thought I was trying to love Sherry right, most of them were very selfish. I learned how selfish I was, or I began to learn how selfish I am. How about that? I am a pleaser. I used to be a pleaser. I would do things to make people happy. On the surface, it looks like I'm loving them, I'm giving to them, but inside, I'm trying to get something. I'm trying to get affirmation, I'm trying to get respect, I'm trying to get acceptance and approval. Well, I was doing that to my wife, and that is so suffocating. If you're in a relationship with a pleaser, you reciprocate by pushing them away. And so all I felt was rejection, and all I felt was, you know, and selfishly thinking, if Sherry's rejecting me, she's rejecting God. Go figure. But when I started to see that, it changed the dynamic of our relationship completely. It was slow. It wasn't immediate. And that stuff's ingrained. But it took a lot of people outside of my little fishbowl that I couldn't see in myself, my blind spots, to inform me in that. And it was one of the hardest times of my life and one of the most beautiful, redeeming times of my life. And it took a lot of people. So there's an example of how community, we're stronger in community, and we grow in community, and we're stagnant without it, or destructive, or whatever you want to call it. Oh, which leads me to my next point. Number five, sanctification is a community project. There's a couple passages out of Ephesians. I don't know if they're going to be up, but Ephesians 2:22 says, "In him, in Jesus, you are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit." And around that passage, it's talking about this building. It's a temple. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone on which the whole temple is being built. And Paul says, you're the other stones, all of you, the church. So, not in isolation, but together, we are constructed as a dwelling place of God, of the Holy Spirit. And further along in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13, Jesus himself gave some people in the church to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity. So I highlighted in my notes the point of God giving these different types of people with these different gifts is to equip all of the church for the work of ministry. So we're all called to the work of ministry. We're all called to learn and to serve together and to grow together in unity. There's a Christian philosopher and author named Dallas Willard who passed away about 7 years ago, I think. Pretty prolific author, but he wrote an apt quote, "Personalities united can contain more of God and sustain the force of his greater presence much better than scattered individuals." You want to add anything to that?
Well, as believers, we know when we commit our lives to Christ and when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we know that we are saved, you know, and we're secure in him and our hope is in heaven. But that doesn't mean that our lives are completely, you know, the biblical word is sanctification. That means becoming more and more like Christ. And I don't know about you, but my journey to becoming more and more like Christ looks like one of these roller coaster rides that does these loop-de-loops and sometimes goes back and turns upside down. And it's
not just like this?
No. I mean, wouldn't that be great if, like, your growth in Christ was just, you know, straight like that? It isn't, you know? And that's where people around you and you and I have been in enough places and churches to tell lots of stories like you and your wife, Sherry, of how people have come alongside and helped you to grow in Christ. God has given us one another to help us to grow into him. Again, it's this journey to becoming more Christ-like isn't just this individual effort and I got to try harder. No, he says, I've given you this whole body of believers. I've given you people in your life who are to help you on that journey. And I told the story last week of how it's important to allow people to use their gifts to help you to get to where God wants you to go. And that by not being in community, we are not allowing somebody to use the gift that God has given them to maybe encourage us or spur us on or pray for us or help us in one of these one another ways. And so yeah, it is very much important to be in community as we seek to grow in Christ. Kind of the flip side of that is number six is that the New Testament commands it. The New Testament in at least three different ways commands that we are to be in community. You can look in Hebrews. There's a number of places where it says, let us. Or the one another passages that I just talked about. But the New Testament commands it. And I think of the need for biblical community is even more so in many places around the world. We need it here in the U.S., but I've been reading stories, as many of you have as well, and been concerned and hopefully praying for brothers and sisters in Christ who are over in Afghanistan or over in other places where there is a persecuted church. And those believers aren't able to gather on a Sunday morning like this. The way they're able to sustain is in these small biblical communities. And they realize that they need one another. And they risk their life, they risk their families, because God has called us to it. He's commanded us to be in it. And if they're going to survive in their daily lives, they realize the need for biblical community. We see it in China, in the underground church. We see it all over the place. Actually, in South Korea, where they have huge churches, the leaders actually say, if you have a choice between coming to the Sunday gathering or going to your midweek, whatever we're going to call it, life group, they say, go to the life group, because that's where you're going to experience all these other things that you just can't. That's why Sunday morning isn't enough. Come to Sunday morning. We want you here. It's important, but there has to be more than that. Author Seth Godin said this: human beings can't help it. We need to belong. One of the most powerful of our survival mechanisms is to be part of a tribe, to contribute to a group of like-minded people. He goes on to say, Christians are branches of the same vine, the living stone in the same building, sheep in the same flock, children of the same family, organs in the same body, and obedient to the one another commands. And so we just need it. We need it. God commands it, that we have to have biblical community.
Yeah, that's why God gave us spiritual gifts to benefit one another and to grow the church. Which is number seven. Community enables us to discover and grow in our spiritual gifts. So when we come to know the Lord, when we put our faith and trust in Him, when His Spirit fills us, when He adopts us, He gifts us spiritually. You know, a lot of people have written books about it and have classes and workshops on how to discover your gifts and all that, but I'm going to refer to Romans chapter 12. Paul in verse 4 says, now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. According to the grace given us, we have different gifts. He lists some examples. If prophecy, use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. In giving, with generosity. In leading, with diligence. In showing mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, the examples of those gifts aren't exhaustive. There's lots of other gifts. But they all show the point that all the spiritual gifts can only be exercised in relationship and community. In fact, sometimes can only be discovered in relationship and community, because the development of your gifts that God gives you to benefit the rest of the church is it's discovered when you first have a hunger for God and a fire in your belly, and you want to go and be part of this community, and you want to obey God. Then things start coming out of you that are ways that you bless others. And if you try to hoard that, say I have a teaching gift and I try to hoard it, like I don't want to come up here because I'm nervous about coming up here in front of everybody, then it sort of renders it ineffective. If there's not a context to use your gift, then there's a blessing that never happened. There was, you know, it was dead on arrival. Because the point is for us to build each other up. And the only way to discover and use our gifts is by intentionally engaging, whether you really feel like it or not.
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians, where it also lists the spiritual gifts, it says that the gifts are given for the common good. The gifts are given for the common good of the church. And you don't have a spiritual gift for yourself. Spiritual gifts are used in community and context for others. I don't have a spiritual gift to build up myself. I have the spiritual gifts to help build up the body of Christ. And so that's where we can, like you said, learn them and use them is all in this context of community. Our last point is why you need biblical community is I'm going to need it someday. Or you're going to need it someday. You might think right now, you know what? Life is too busy. Things are too hectic. We got 1,000 excuses that we can all make. As I said last week, we all have busy schedules. We're not encouraging you to become a part of a life group because you said to us, hey, we have so much time, we don't have anything else to do. No, you're so busy in your schedules that is actually why you need biblical community. Luke 17 says, and Jesus said to his disciples, temptation to sin are sure to come. Or in the NASB, it says, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. And what I have seen as a pastor in 20-plus years of ministry is that if all you do is come on Sunday morning, it's easy to stumble out of Sunday morning. Even in a small church like this, it's easy to stumble out. It's easy to stumble away. In COVID, everybody went away, and we were all online. And then one of the questions the elders asked is, okay, who do we have left? Because it's easy to stumble out of Sunday morning. I've even known, and this has been my own personal life, and I could tell stories of people, is it's easy to stumble out of your personal walk with God. You know, unless we're in a close connection with somebody who's asking us about it, it's easy to stumble out of my walk with God and just put my Bible down and not pick it up for a month. But what I have found is that it is hard to stumble out of a life group, out of a small community. It's hard to. Why? Because those people are expecting me. Those people are going to call me up if I did not show up. Those people are going to ask me the hard questions of, hey, what's God been teaching you in his word lately? If I haven't been in it for a month, they're going to know about it. And he's going to give me a swift kick in the butt. And so it's hard to stumble out of community. That's why we are encouraging you to consider this and to be a part of it is because, again, not that you need one more thing to do, but because of the value of it. Because it's easy to stumble out of Sunday morning. It's easy to stumble out of your personal walk. But when you're in a small group of people, you are involved and invested in their lives, and you can help them. Ecclesiastes 4 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And we're all going to fall someday. We're all going to need somebody that someday. And that's where biblical community comes in. We're going to need it. It's not good to be alone. That's what God said in the book of Genesis to Adam. It's not good to be alone. God himself was in community, and he knew that Adam needed to be in community. He knows we need to be in community. I was reading a devotional a few weeks ago, and it said this phrase, and it just stuck with me. It said, even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. And so if Jesus needed help carrying his cross, we need help in our daily lives as well. We need others around us in the fight with us to grow in our faith, to be the people God called us to be. So don't run from it. Embrace it, especially when you don't want to embrace it. It's probably you need it even more. You have a thought?
Well, I was just wondering if you guys thought that was a pretty good pitch for life groups. Because we're kicking them off. There's a little flyer in your packet you got with your notes. Life groups are starting up in just a few weeks, the week of September 12th. There are life groups between Sundays through Thursdays. There's, I think, eight different groups. We're going to be, Sherry and I are going to be hosting one. They're all over town. They're out of town. There's one in St. Charles. There's one in Spring Valley. And there's a couple more to come pretty soon. So get plugged in. I know that, especially for families with younger kids and kids in school, September's sort of like kicking into fall schedule and all sorts of things are going on. But like we said, we don't want this to be one more thing to do. We want this to become a rhythm for our church as a whole. That is part of our lifeblood as a church. And in life groups, it's not a time sucker. It's a life giver. Like, it will help you through the rest of your week. It will, because you guys are going to take care of each other in a lot of ways. And anyway, I found it every time I've been in a group where we invest ourselves in a group. It is a much better life to live. And it hasn't been like, oh, man, we got to go to group tonight, but I got so much other things to do. It's more like I'm willing to shelf some other stuff and reschedule because I want to be with my people. Well, anyway, so we'll have all this information for them published online too, at our website, email announcements, but you can go ahead and grab a flyer. We'd love to see you plug in. There's contact information for all of the hosts. Feel free to call or email or whatever it says on there. And we'd love to have you in the next few weeks. So,
and we'll keep Justin up here, so if you have questions about it, but take that out and look through it again and make a commitment to it. And because, again, you might have reasons of your own. Or maybe today, take the outline home, and what are the ones of why you need biblical community to remind yourself of that? And again, we'd love for you to be part of it. Well, let's close our time together in prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who is in community himself, and that you invite us to be in community with you and with one another. Lord, that it is a picture of the gospel when we are living out in Christian community. When we live our lives together, when we're in relationship together, when we're loving one another. Lord, when we're changing the world together. Lord, and we know what benefit it has for us, but Lord, it has a benefit for those who are in it with us as well. Lord, take away any excuses that we have today and point out to us the truths of your word. We ask that as we go in this week, that this would be the final week that we live in isolation, maybe for some of us, and that we make that commitment to be in community with one another. Lord, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much. Have a great week.